David Abramson, good morning. Welcome to High FM 101.9 this Thursday morning. We need you.
I think we just need Brittany. That was fantastic.
Yeah, we don't need you. We need Brittany. Well,
who
why is this? She got us right. Yeah, she changed our mood.
I would have lost that bet. Brittany saved us.
Yeah, yeah. It's unbelievable.
She's got it.
She is good.
She sounds like Brittany. And I wish people could have been here during the break. She was doing that Brittany vibrato.
Well, you know, I'll put it back on again. No, I'm not going to tell shout at me. But I could play the same song over and over and over again. But that was great. That helped my Purim.
Yeah,
every rabbi I see from now on the whole day today, I'm going to tell, you know what you couldn't do for me, Brittany did.
I'm not going to try and compete.
Yes.
But that was amazing.
It was.
Brittany made my Purim.
She brought light where there was darkness.
Well, I wouldn't push it. A very, very good morning to you. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem 101.9 High FM. It is Purim. It is Human Rights Day. There was something else. Oh, and it's Throwback Thursday. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's also your memory day or something.
Yes.
Yeah, which is quite ironic because there we go. I forgot that. All right. According to, you know, that app, Eskom Sapush.
Yes, I've got it. Yeah.
Right. And they're saying, warning, stage 4 planned to start 9 a.m. Human Rights Day. Celebrate our incredible Bill of Rights. Have a fantastic day off, South Africa. Oh, right. I can't even respond.
I thought they were going to say, have a braai.
Right. Well, that is the question, not that I can get on to Joburg Jewish mommies, and I really have tried.
And just Esther, 54. Three children.
Right, exactly. But Esther Goldberg. I live in Sydenham.
No, the East Rand.
No, you see, then they'll know.
Right.
So the Jehovah's Jewish mommies. Yes, so someone did send me a screenshot, which I really do appeal to anybody. If you see something going on in Joburg Jewish Mommies that you feel that I need to know about, send it to me. Just don't tell my wife because she won't allow. She tells everybody not to send me anything. Including our own children.
Why?
Because I can't be trusted, apparently.
You'll put it in a book.
I'll talk about it on the radio. Yeah. I can't be trusted. So in fact, even our children, they're allowed to show me things and then they've got to take the phone away. No one's allowed to share anything with me. But if you just ignore what she's saying and you see an interesting conversation going on, especially on Joburg Jewish Mommies, send it to me because I think those are very interesting. Now, yesterday they were having a very worthwhile conversation and it was how to plan meals during load shedding, like some ideas.
Wow.
You know, nice. And I thought that was actually very, very nice.
I hear some amazing things going on that site.
Well,
amazing.
I don't know, David. It's all hearsay. I don't see anything. But
talk to your wife. I'm sure she's on it.
She might be, but she will never share it with me. Apparently, I can't be trusted.
It's an amazing source of information. If you need a plumber,
why I need to get on there. Right. I need to get on there.
Well, maybe we can.
You know, if
appeal.
I'm looking for a pediatrician, for example, what am I meant to do?
I have to say that I did feel very uncomfortable when I was told that people actually go as far as like asking about the best gynecologists and, you know, I think that takes it a little bit
too
far for me.
Right. Who does the best pap smear in town? I know that it's just not necessary.
That's probably why you're not allowed on it.
Maybe that is why. Either way, I'm not allowed on it. But they were talking about foods, you know, ideas, load shedding ideas. Of course, the braai is always a reliable one, but,
a good cholent.
Oh, David, man, no, that's disgusting. Because the power goes off.
But doesn't the cooker, this is how much I know about cholent, doesn't the, you know, you put it in a slow cooker, but I suppose the slow cooker needs electricity at some point.
David, for an intelligent guy, that might have been, I'm just hoping your family's not listening right now because really,
I'm hoping very few people listen on a public holiday. Everyone's
on Human Rights Day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or everyone's brying eggs for breakfast.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. If you have any brilliant ideas about food cooking during load shedding, I would love to hear them.
Well, I must say that we've been using our braai a lot more, and it's amazing what you can do on a braai. French toast, for example.
What? How did you? What? How?
You just need.
David's just like brying eggs even.
Yeah, you can do.
No one bries eggs. Doesn't it fall through the griddle? It doesn't fall through the holes.
Howard, you need a special, not a special, but you need a grid. You know, it all depends on your equipment. And so if you've got, I'm scaring myself.
To the equipment. Yeah. Drive, yeah.
And Freud.
Yeah, tell us about your equipment, David.
Howard.
No, you were talking about, I'm just want to know.
It's a griddle. It's like a, and you can make eggs on it. You can make French toast on it. You can make,
really?
And you can do vegetables on the braai.
Oh, so it doesn't have like the slats, because I keep thinking, crack the egg, open it up, no, goes all the way through.
No. That's a separate piece of equipment. And it's actually, I must say, I find it quite, and I'm sorry to sound so predictable, I find braaiing very therapeutic. I do.
Really?
Yeah.
But I think you paid to say that.
I am sponsored by Weber. Just to say.
So a braai is always a good one, obviously. Yeah. And a lot of people obviously have gas hobs as well.
Yeah.
In their kitchen.
Absolutely.
So that makes life a little bit easier.
I think we need to bring in an expert.
You don't think we sound like we know what we're talking about?
I definitely.
Right. Okay. So, and Sian says, I'm growing an affinity for cold brewed coffee. That's actually brilliant. No. David, he's not joking. I make cold brewed coffee. It is, well, until I was not allowed to make it anymore because apparently I made a mess in the kitchen repeatedly. But what you do, seriously, you take, let's say you take ground beans, fresh ground beans, and you put a cup of, if you're making quite a big jug, a cup of ground beans to 4 cups of water. Maybe even a bit more, right? You mix it and you let it brew cold. And every now and then you mix it. You do this for at least, you let it stand there for about 5 or 6 hours.
In the fridge or?
It can stand anywhere. That doesn't matter at this point. Then you strain it and you strain it through a muslin cloth. And what happens is there is absolutely no bitterness. Now you put it in the fridge. And, when you want to drink it, you just add milk, you add ice. It is absolutely delicious.
That sounds delicious.
No, it really, really is. Cold brewed coffee is incredible. You need to have prepared it in advance. Unsigned said next door and RTG is the best when there's no electricity. I was at RTG the other night when there was no power. I had a meeting there. It was actually great. An absolute pleasure. Rene says a Prima stove. I don't even know what that is. Zanati, help us, yeah?
No.
Oh, come on, Zanati. All right. Yeah, Rene, you honestly are talking to a remedial group of people here. Can you please, if you don't mind, just explain what a Prima stove is or a Premi stove? Howard, really, this is not rocket science stuff. Get gas, says Neil. Well, Neil, you're in a mood. Oh. Jeez. Why are they all so testy? Just because they haven't had power for 18 hours. Wow. It makes you testy, Neil. And it's Purim. This is not a way to behave, is it, David?
Howard, have you told everyone what you dressed up as this morning?
I have not.
Well, I have not.
You don't know either.
Excuse me? That is very rude, Zanati. I think it's very clear. I've just put it on Facebook, actually.
And I think everyone should go have a look.
So he's in all black. Like, he comes in wearing all black. And I'm like, this guy said that he was going to dress up, and he's not. I'm like, so I carry on with my morning. And then he's like, you didn't comment on how I'm dressed. I'm like, what do you mean? You're not dressed. You're not dressed up. And then he randomly takes out this card that says, Eskom, # load shedding. And I was like, clever.
Yeah.
That's really clever.
I thought it was really, really, as Howard would say, on fleek.
Thank you very much. Janine says, Howard, can you imagine if you were sensitive? Yeah, can you imagine? You're just very, very lucky that I'm not. The funniest is to see how many unexpected people, you now see in the camping section. My mother trekked out with a Golden Acres buddy to a camping store and bought single plate gas stove with butane gas canisters. Their apartment now looks like they're preparing for war. Thanks, Rene. Rene says it is a gas cylinder with a cooking plate on top.
Like a KDAC,
or
probably.
Or uses paraffin as well, you know. Yeah. So, okay, yeah. So yeah. Anyway, so yes, I definitely dressed up. Howard, now you're being painful. Coffee instant must be drunk immediately. How would be nice now, Neil says.
Well, I must say, for someone who, and I'm talking about myself, who says extra hot please with my coffee.
Oh.
That sounds appealing though, Howard.
Because it's not trying to be hot.
It's not trying to be what it's not trying to be.
Exactly, David. This cold brewed coffee is who it is. You know it. It's not trying to be hot coffee.
Right. Masks.
Right. Exactly. So Neil's saying, I think what Neil's saying is, Howard is dressed as load shedding. Love Tully Bess. Yes. And Tully, thank you. That is exactly what I am dressed up as.
And your glasses even match?
David, it's not a coincidence.
Your headphones match?
Well, that might be. All right. So David, tell us about masks, because Purim is a festival of masks. And to me, it's awesome because I think we try on different masks throughout the course of our lives, don't we?
Well, I think we put on masks every day, you know, when we decide what to wear in a way, we decide to put on, you know, if we put on earrings or, you know, even go to extremes like get a tattoo, have cosmetic surgery. We really can decide how we represent ourselves to the world, every day. But also I think for me, as you're saying, you know, when we're born, we don't have masks. We're born so naturally and we are who we are, but over time we develop masks, in order to, I suppose, to function in the world, and we adapt to what we think is appropriate to wear on any particular day, any particular occasion, any particular moment. So we do, and I think from a psychological point of view, you know, we all put on masks and we all decide, sometimes consciously and sometimes unconsciously, what to present ourselves as.
Is it dangerous? I mean, is it bad for us to wear masks, or is it just part of surviving in a world? You know, I'm a different person at work than I might be with my children, and am I wearing masks, or is that who I am in those situations? How does it work? How do we know what the real us is?
You know, I mean, we hear that word bandied around, authenticity. You know, we need to be authentic, and I think, understandably, to a degree, we need to be different things at different times, but I think it all depends on degrees. You know, if you're going to work and you leave your personality behind, you leave yourself behind completely, then there's something inauthentic about that.
Right. And it's hard to sustain.
Absolutely. So it's really, you know, it really is about degrees. So you know, I love what Oscar Wilde once said. Do you know that quote, Zanatti?
Which one, David?
Be yourself, everyone else is taken. And I love that because, you know.
That's nice. It's actually write that down.
Yeah. No, what? I just know the one that goes, be yourself unless you can be Beyonce. If you can be Beyonce, then be Beyonce.
Look, I'm pretty confident Oscar Wilde did not say that. I might not know all of the stuff that he said, but I know for sure he didn't say that.
Are you sure?
Beyonce. How would that go down in a therapy session?
Or maybe,
you know, try be Beyonce, but if you can't, let's go from there.
Let's be yourself.
I think it was F. Scott Fitzgerald, actually.
It doesn't matter. I actually think it was Shakespearean.
Yeah,
I think
really?
Shakespeare said that.
Yeah,
it's a line from Hamlet.
Be yourself if you can't be
to
Beyonce.
Be or not to be Beyonce. Yeah, something like that.
Can we focus here? Guys?
Sorry. I can't, actually. I'm finding it so hard to focus today.
Let's go back to Oscar Wilde.
Okay.
Because he said, be yourself. Everyone else is taken.
That's also a line from a song. Be yourself, no matter what they say. Oh, yeah, David, that's a song.
All right.
Oh, we've been so badly behaved in our finding.
Wow. Right.
Okay, yeah, so, sorry, David, Oscar Wilde was saying.
Oscar Wilde was saying, be yourself. Everyone else is taken, and I love that because really, you know, we're talking about be authentic. And I think for me, that's the most important thing. It's interesting, you know, when we talk about masks, we talk about meta levels of masks. Like, for example, I was reading a fascinating article about how in Japan, you know, on a physical level, people, you know, wear masks, and initially
they're Hello Kitty masks, I think.
Oh, but hang on. Yes. Initially it was, you know, when you were sick or you had allergies, you know, the quality of the air.
Oh, interesting.
So it started off as that.
And
then suddenly people were wearing masks, as you say, for fashion, you know, fashion statements. There were, as you say, Hello Kitty ones. And then people actually then started to wear masks.
I feel like the Japanese want to be like 9-year-old girls.
Okay.
That's a Hello Kitty thing. Yeah, anyway. Sorry, carry on.
Okay, I will. And then, you know, the bottom line is that now it seems that people wear masks in Japan when they're not feeling like interacting with other people.
No,
when
really?
They feel like
So interesting.
When they don't feel like, you know, doing the, you know, makeup, when they don't want to actually present themselves in the world with, I suppose, a mask of happiness, a mask of being cheerful, and so they use it now as a way of just, you know, allowing yourself to relax in public, be yourself instead of having to. And I think we do have that stereotypical idea of, Japanese people, you know, bowing and being very polite. And I think it's fascinating now that these masks are being worn daily by thousands of people.
That is so interesting.
To relax and in a way be authentic. So I mean that's on a meta level. But I do think for me, you know, we also talk about, we've heard about the imposter syndrome, where people feel that they need to wear a mask all the time. You know, that imposter syndrome is when people feel like, you know, when they find out about me, you know, it's like, suppose, like, you know.
But we start that very young, don't we? I mean, if you think about groups of kids that all want to fit in into the same crowd, they're effectively wearing a mask and they're petrified to show, to reveal what sits behind that mask, because of the fear of rejection, I would imagine.
Absolutely. It's like on Purim, and, you know, you're wearing a mask and then people would say, oh, it's only you behind there. You know, oh, it's just you. And for me, that's what we are talking about today. You know, when we take off that mask, you know, yes, like Oscar Wilde said, be yourself. Everyone else is taken. Be yourself.
Unless you can be Beyonce.
Unless you can be Beyonce.
Right.
You should write that one down.
Yes.
I'm going to write that one down.
Neil says, David, so what about plastic surgical procedures? Isn't that a permanent mask?
Absolutely. And I think for me, obviously, we're not talking about, you know, when people have a deformity or really have something that really needs, I suppose it's relative, you know, warrants plastic surgery. Absolutely. That's about people wanting to be different to who they feel that they are. And also that comes from societal pressure as well. I think again, it's very, very important that we talk about being authentic, you know, and being yourself. There's this core sense of who you are, but understandably needing to be, a degree of a work-like when you're going to work. You're different. You're not going to be like you are at work when you're at home, but it's all relative. So I think that's very important, and it's exhausting. It's actually, and I think that's where people kind of, you know, get burnt out, you know, when you're inauthentic. It takes so much energy to keep that facade up. So I think, you know, that's very important. And then we also don't live our potential if we're inauthentic, because if we're just trying to be different things for different people for different situations. But the most amazing thing is that, you know, in the world there are, Howard, this is going to sound so harsh for a, you know, there might be better, radio presenters, but if you don't bring yourself, that's what we love about you. You bring yourself.
But you need confidence to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
You need self-esteem. So, you need to know that actually I like myself, then why wouldn't anybody else like me?
Yeah, so technically there could be a better radio DJ. There technically could be.
What?
Technically.
I was going to be like, wow, he's actually saying that.
What did he actually say? Sorry. And that was David Abramson. This was his last session. Yeah. On the High FM. All right. So carry on about that whole technicality in theory.
In theory, they could be better. But if you don't believe that you bring something unique, then you might as, you know, really, then what are you doing?
Then what are you doing?
So bring yourself.
I love that. I really love that. Time is 8:28. We're chatting to David Abramson on Purim. We're talking about the masks that we wear. Purim, of course, being a festival that represents things that are hidden. We don't always see what is behind the mask. We don't always see what sits beneath the surface. 34519 or 0618951019. I'd love your thoughts on this.